Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are all here with me today. We've got a wonderful show in store for you with a wonderful guest, a very dear friend of mine who I've known for a long time. I'm very excited to bring her on. But first, of course, we have my blog post from a couple of years ago. And this one, again, I think it's kind of apropos for what we're going to be talking about today. And this blog post is about loneliness. And the title is, Healing Loneliness Takes Time, Patience, and Courage. We all experience difficult feelings. As much as we avoid them, they are still here. When we are alone, we often feel lonely. The funny thing is, we're not alone in experiencing this. We all experience loneliness at different points in our lives. It can arise from loss, alienation, or a sense of disconnection. We all face loneliness in different ways. Sometimes we just distract ourselves. Other times we sink into depression. Yet the best thing we can do is usually the last thing we do, which is to acknowledge it and allow ourselves to just feel it. It may seem counterintuitive, but by facing our loneliness, we can begin to understand why we feel that way. We can feel into the root cause and learn to be present to it. Then we can work towards healing it. When we take the time to reflect on our emotions, we can explore the deeper layers of that loneliness, one layer at a time, as we are ready to face each of them. We can engage in the process gradually. We do not have to tackle it, all of it, right away. Just like dipping our toe in the water, we can release a little bit of the pain at a time, facing what comes up one step at a time. Sometimes we just feel like reaching out to someone we feel safe talking to about our feelings, sharing our experiences with a trusted friend, family member, or therapist. They all can provide support and help alleviate the discomfort of loneliness. Remember, it's okay to ask for help and seek connection. Yet it is still important to create moments of solitude where we can be with ourselves without distractions. For when we engage in activities that bring us joy, we allow ourselves to connect with our inner self. This can be anything from reading a book, practicing mindfulness, meditating, or going for a walk. By nurturing a positive relationship with ourselves, we can develop a sense of true self-comfort, which can reduce the fear and pain of being alone. Healing from loneliness takes time and patience. Being kind to ourselves throughout the process is most important, for we do have the strength to overcome it. Knowing that, we can cultivate the courage to truly face our loneliness. So, I wrote this blog post a couple of years ago, actually when my wife was away in China. Her sister had gotten sick and she went out to see her. And so I was by myself for about a month. And as I mentioned last week's blog post, you know, I was out in Colorado on a trip. She got the phone call from her niece, decided she needed to go. So after a few days together in Colorado, she was off to China and I was still in Colorado because, you know, I had commitments, house sitting commitments. So I spent the rest of the time alone. And it was kind of interesting, that experience for me, because I encountered my loneliness because being away, and I was in a beautiful place and it was wonderful, but it was unexpected. Like, it was unexpected for me to be by myself out there. And so I could feel the loneliness of being alone, but I was able to sit with it. I was able to be okay with it. I would go for a walk, walking the dog I was taking care of, and I would just be by myself. I went out to restaurants and ate dinner by myself, which I usually don't do. And I just allowed myself to be present to that feeling. And, you know, there's this old adage that just because you're alone doesn't mean you have to be lonely. And I was really able to sit with it. And even though I was feeling lonely, it wasn't all the time. And it was sort of like the more I gave time and space to be present to it, to acknowledge it. And it reminded me of how, you know, when I was a kid, I didn't have a lot of friends. And my sister and brother, they're both older than me. They were off, you know, out of the house most of the time with their friends. And so this lonely feeling was a very familiar one for me. But somehow this time I was just able to hold it in a way that I hadn't been able to hold it before. And I think that's from all the personal work, all the inner healing work that I've been doing over the last, you know, 10, 15, 20 years. And so, of course, when I left Colorado and I came back home and she was still going to be away for another 3 weeks or so, being home, it was a little more comforting. And I didn't feel quite as lonely as I did being away without her. But I was able to care for myself, to comfort myself. And the loneliness, while it was uncomfortable, it wasn't devastating. It wasn't, you know, it didn't send me into a depression. It didn't send me into a deep negative place. It was more just, this is what I'm feeling right now. I'm holding myself. I'm holding the space for it. And it's okay. And to me, that was just a big lesson in that, even when we come across uncomfortable feelings, it's really the story that we make around it that causes us our suffering. And I guess that was the real shift or change for me. I didn't make a story around being alone. You know, it was unexpected. It was what was in the moment. And so I just decided to stay with it. And I was able to enjoy myself being alone. I was in a beautiful place. And it was really an interesting experience. But it did teach me that when we have the courage to face these uncomfortable emotions, when we have the courage to open up and give them time and space and just be present to it, that it doesn't have to control our life. It doesn't have to overwhelm us. It doesn't have to send us into a place that doesn't work for us. And so for me, that was a big lesson. And so that's why I wrote this blog post, because I wanted to share that lesson with all of you. So I'd love to know how you feel about it, because I do feel like there is an epidemic of loneliness right now. Ever since the pandemic, I think we're more disconnected. We're more separated. We're less involved with other people, I kind of feel, in general. At least in the people that I work with, I just find they're thirsting for community so much. So I'd love to hear about your experiences with loneliness. So that's my blog post. It's entitled Healing Loneliness Takes Time, Patience, and Courage. And of course, you can always find my blogs on my personally branded website, theconsciousconsultant.com, or of course on the station website, talkradio.nyc/blog. And now it is my extreme pleasure to welcome to the show globally recognized thought leader, number one internationally best-selling author, and visionary founder, Teresa Desgrobois. And of course, most importantly, my friend. Teresa is the visionary founder of the Evolutionary Business Council and the Vista Mundo Intentional Community in Costa Rica. With a profound commitment to conscious living and the power of authentic connection, Teresa has dedicated her life to creating spaces and frameworks that empower individuals to thrive in harmony with themselves, each other, and the natural world. For years, Teresa cultivated a significant international presence through her personal brand, becoming a sought-after speaker and mentor in the realms of influence, leadership, and personal development. Her work has touched countless lives, mine included, guiding individuals to unlock their potential and live more purposeful lives. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant. Welcome back, I should say, to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Teresa.
Thank you, Sam. It's just always a joy to be here. And oh my God, what a perfect blog post that you started with this morning. I just love that.
I know. And it's like I'm just taking them in order, but somehow they always seem so perfect. Yeah. So you're sitting there in beautiful Costa Rica. For all those listening to the podcast who aren't seeing the live stream, she's got the gorgeous tree in her background and she's in this beautiful area of Costa Rica. How did you end up, a nice girl from Canada like yourself, end up in Costa Rica?
You know, I just got sick of winter. Actually, the longer story is one of my best friends and I were talking one day about, wouldn't it be fun to create a community somewhere? Mm. You know, and, you know, because especially as you start to get upwards in age, you start to realize loneliness, you know, what you were talking about in your blog post, mm-hmm. is at an epidemic level in North America, because a lot of North Americans and Europeans, we've held this ideal of giving our children wings and teaching them to fly right. so high that we end up living alone in our later years.
You know? Right.
And so I was talking with this friend and we were saying, well, you know, maybe we just need to create a community of friends. So we've got the support and the community we need. And as soon as we started talking about it, everybody started saying Costa Rica. It was funny. Wow. We were originally thinking we'd do it in Canada. And then we started thinking, well, why are we doing it in Canada where there's 8 months of winter? Why don't we go to paradise and do the community? So the thinking shifted pretty rapidly and everything fell into place actually very quickly in terms of bringing us down here and having us see how amazing it is here in Costa Rica. Of course, a beautiful, beautiful place to think about spending your later years.
Wow, wonderful. And how long ago was that you went down to Costa Rica for the first time and started looking for property and stuff?
That was about 7-8 years ago now. And wow. Yeah, it's interesting. It all kind of fell into place quickly. But I think that's part of consciousness, you know, when you are really aware of what's going on for you personally and how you connect to the world at large, sometimes synchronicities just line up for you very rapidly.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, let's leave it there for the moment. We'll take a quick break. And when we come back, let's talk about this whole idea of Vista Mundo. You know, how did it develop? What were the challenges along the way and sort of where you are now? Okay.
Beautiful.
Wonderful. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc and all over social media. And we'll be right back with my guest, Teresa Degrobaugh, in just a moment.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Brancu, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking this hour with Teresa Degrobaugh, a founder of the Vistamundo Intentional Community in Costa Rica. So Teresa, you spoke about how you wanted to have a community with friends as you're, you know, getting a little bit on in years, as they say. But you know, it's a long stretch from just having that idea to actually setting up the idea and setting up the community. And I know you said that things just kind of fell into place, but take us a little bit on that journey of, you know, okay, you decided on Costa Rica. How did you find land? What was the idea behind it? What kind of people were you looking to bring down with you to live with?
Yeah, well, when we really started visioning the whole thing, you know, we started thinking about how do we really want to live, you know, not just do I want to have friends around me, but do I want to be able to pick my own dinner every day? And do I want to be able to drink coconut milk that didn't come out of a can? And how old am I willing to have the eggs I eat in the morning? You know, because, you know, if you think about it, any egg you buy in the grocery store in Canada is probably already 3 to 4 months old. Same within the U.S.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
And so when we started visioning everything we wanted, you know, it really started to become clear that, okay, first of all, we need to move south. But in a very short period of time, everybody started saying, have you looked at Costa Rica? Costa Rica, Costa Rica, have you looked at Costa Rica? And so my former business partner and I decided, well, we better come down here and check it out. And we looked at a couple places and very quickly started to realize, well, A, this country has a lot to offer. You know, there's a reason Costa Rica is a blue zone, you know, and if you don't know what a blue zone is, it means Costa Rica is one of the highest percentages of centenarians in the world who live above the age of 100. In fact, our local town here has six people that are above the age of 100 and several that are above the age of 90 that are still active contributors to their family units, you know, like they still work in the family business or mend, you know, mend the clothes or tend the garden or whatever it is that contributes to the community or their family. And so we started looking at communities, and I remember we'd only been here a few days, and on a whim, I just typed in land for sale in Costa Rica into my laptop that night. And this little ad popped up that was a Kijiji ad. Now, I know most of the Americans or Europeans listening won't know what Kijiji is, but it's like the main buy and sell for Canada. And I'm like, what is a Canadian ad doing for land for sale in Costa Rica? I'm like, that's weird. But it just struck me as so weird that I looked at it and it basically said early stage development. If you're interested in being the ground floor of creating a community in Costa Rica, reach out. And there was a phone number there. So I called the number and the individual who was selling the land was literally staying 10 minutes from where I was in Costa Rica.
Oh, wow.
What are the odds of that? Right? Yeah. So we made arrangements to have lunch the next day and we went out and saw the land. And it was interesting because, you know, when you just walk into a property and you think, oh, this is it, you just know, right? And then you start looking at all the reasons why it should be a yes, as opposed to you look at the reasons first and then decide you're a yes.
Yeah.
But when I did start looking, it really did check all the boxes. You know, it was in what we call the Goldilocks zone in Costa Rica, where you can do indoor-outdoor living. Like if you have a little bit of elevation where you are, it's neither too hot nor too cold. You don't need air conditioning or heat. It was in a beautifully protected valley, so we don't have to worry about being hit full front with tropical storms here.
Okay.
Anywhere near any active volcanoes or places that would cause earthquakes, what do you call them, faults in the ground. And there was already all kinds of food growing on the land. Like there was already bananas and you know, plantain and things like that growing here. So we were kind of excited to look at it. And we met the developer. He was a retired buffalo farmer from Wisconsin.
Wow.
I just thought, this is it. This is the individual that we're meant to work with. And so, you know, the initial group of people very quickly all agreed. And we just started looking at what do we want to build here? And the rest is history. It's actually been a lot of fun ever since then.
Wow. Wow. And so how many... you know, so when you're creating an intentional community, you know, it's not that necessarily simple because you've got to share resources, you've got to bring stuff onto the property, like all that kinds of stuff. So what was it like sort of in the early time? Because, I mean, you basically bought raw land, right?
Yeah. Well, in fact, it's a whole neighborhood. So everybody can buy their own lot, basically.
Okay.
But the first thing we did was we built a retreat center here with apartments. So there's places for people to live if they're coming in and out, places to host retreats. Okay. Almost everyone involved with the community were people who are up to bigger games in the world. Like, you know, they were trying to have their lives stand for something or create something in the world. So having a retreat space here where people could do lunch and learns or workshops or things where we could learn from each other actually became a really fun way to start the community. It also made it easy if people wanted to come down and see their land or make plans, then it makes everything easier, right? But it also created an initial spot where those of us involved would all start living together and talking about and thinking about what does conscious living mean? And, you know, what kind of guidelines do we need around this community? And, what does it mean to really be committed to doing your own inner work so that you're not only a good neighbor, but a good citizen of planet Earth, you know?
Right, right.
So kind of interesting to have that exploration together as a group.
So how long did it take from when you purchased the land till you actually had the retreat center or the first house put up on the land? How long did that take?
We were about 3.5 years in. In fact, we opened the retreat center the week COVID hit. So that was a bit of a, wow, we weren't expecting that one. So, you know, that shifted and changed things a lot for us initially. Changed the landscape we were moving with. But the vision has remained strong, you know. And we have both, you know, people who own the land here. And we also have a lot of people kind of attached to our community that come in and out. That have just become part of our family here, you know? And so it was interesting going through COVID down here. I feel like it was such a miracle in my life that we had just moved here when COVID hit, because I can't imagine a nicer place to write out a pandemic.
Yeah. Where else?
Stuck in paradise. Darn.
Yeah. I'm sure. It's like, where would you rather be stuck, in an apartment in Canada or in a beautiful house in Costa Rica?
Yeah. I really didn't want to talk about it too much to my friends and family, because I just felt bad. They were like, we have to line up for 3 hours to get toilet paper. And I was like, oh.
but you have family. I mean, you have kids, you have relatives. What did your family think about you moving down to Costa Rica?
You know, they were actually really supportive. You know, a lot of my family comes down and visits. Of course, when you live in Costa Rica, people want to visit you.
Yeah.
You know, my kids come once a year, and I try and take 2-3 months every year and go up, and I do a cross-country road trip across Canada to see all my family, because I have quite a few siblings, and I have 2 daughters in Canada as well.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have the best of both worlds. You know, now I can enjoy Canadian summer, which is spectacular. You know, I love being a Canadian. I love going home to visit.
Mm-hmm.
I can also, you know, Costa Rica is spectacular all year round. So originally I thought I might maintain a house in Canada and have a home in both places. And I very quickly realized it's a lot more complicated to have a home in both places. And I love being in Costa Rica, you know.
And
it just makes life simpler, because when I go up to Canada, I want to visit people anyway.
So
why have a house there? Why not just...
Why not have the flexibility of just going wherever you want to go instead of having to go to one spot? What would you say was the biggest adjustment you had to make moving down to Costa Rica? You know, it is a different lifestyle. It's a different environment. And, you know, sometimes when you're used to one thing, even if the other thing is better, it's still an adjustment.
Yeah, actually, the biggest adjustment for me was probably not moving countries, but moving from a large city to the country.
And
I didn't realize it at first that that's what the adjustment was, you know.
Yeah.
When I lived in Calgary in Canada, I mean, I had big box department stores within 6 blocks of the residential neighborhood I lived in. If I ran out of something, I just, you know, run to the local supermarket, and you know, I had a Walmart 2 minutes away.
Right.
You know, I didn't really have to worry about stocking up or running out of things or whatever. And now I live out in the country, and it's like, it's 20 minutes to the local supermarket. It's not outrageous, but it's interesting that, like, suddenly I was in a country where I didn't know where to buy everything I might need. You know, where do I get the fennel for my chai? You know? And so initially I was like really having to do a lot of like asking around, where do I buy these things? What do I do these things? And some of it was, I was still trying to live like a North American in Costa Rica. And then as I started to realize, you know, if I just shopped at the farmer's market on Friday, oh my God, we're 20 minutes from the biggest farmer's market in all of Costa Rica.
Nice.
And it's huge. And it's an old style farmer's market, you know, so you can literally go in there and $40 or $50, you'll walk out with 4 grocery bags, chock-a-block with food, you know, amazing fresh cheeses and meats, etc. But I had to start living like a Costa Rican. And it was interesting how joyful that was to realize, I don't have to buy my cheese at the supermarket. I can get fresh cheese that's amazing at the farmer's market, and it's half the price. So that was kind of fun to go through that transition of learning how to be a tika, you know, the Costa's name for themselves. And live here a little bit more the way the locals would live.
Right. And speaking of that, did you speak Spanish when you moved down there?
Only marginally.
You know.
So I've been learning Spanish as I live here. But the biggest challenge with that is Costa Rican speaks so fast. I always have to say, you know, get them to slow down so I can understand them.
Yeah.
It's not hard to pick up. It's actually a pretty easy language to learn. Costa Ricans are incredibly generous with helping you learn. You know, if you go to the farmer's market, they'll teach you the words for everything, and they'll teach you how to ask, and they'll teach you the
number. Nice.
Learned this from shopping.
I mean, to me, that I kind of feel like that would be one of my biggest challenges, moving to another country where it's not the same language, is just learning to adopt that language and learning to think in that language. Like, it's one thing to speak a language, but it's another thing to actually think in it.
Yeah.
So you're communicating with people the way, you know, on a more intimate level, I guess.
Google Translate's pretty amazing, though, I have to say. Yeah. I've had some pretty incredible conversations with people that we just supplemented with the Translate app. It's amazing how much technology has become the miracle we don't even notice.
Yes, it's so ubiquitous, right?
I literally had a conversation the other day where there was a woman from Norway, a Costa Rican, and someone from Japan. And the four of us were having a conversation in Spanish, but using Google Translate to help us.
Wow.
Through the apps. And it was the most amazing conversation. It was so fun. We were just laughing at the challenges we were having, but it was really, really cool experience.
Wow. Wild, wild, wild. Okay. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about kind of where things are today with Vista Mundo. What's going on? You know, who's there, how many people are there, and what are you creating today with it? Okay.
Perfect.
Wonderful. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. And we will be right back with our guest, Teresa Degrobaugh, in just a moment.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A-Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A-Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. So, Teresa, you've been down there now for several years. What's the status of Vista Mundo? What are you looking to do with it now? Where are things today?
Well, we actually have two new members of our community. We just sold two more lots in the last three. So I'm excited about that, especially one of the new buyers reignited in me my passion for sustainable building. And we're actually looking at bringing in a workshop on aircrete. I don't know if you've ever heard about aircrete, but they make these amazing dome homes.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, a few friends can build a house together.
Yes.
These little aircrete makers and stuff. And I'm like, oh, how exciting. One of the things I love about when new members come into the community is they bring with them a whole new set of passions and interests that tend to reignite the community, you know.
Right.
And it's interesting because I was looking at aircrete several years ago when we first started Vista Mundo, and I had given up on it because I thought, oh, there's nobody else here who's interested in it. I don't think I can do it alone. And all of a sudden, look what manifested. Somebody came in who's really interested in it. So I'm hoping to bring in a training course on it and
wonderful.
Talk about it so we can start building some little beautiful little tiny houses built of aircrete that are very inexpensive. So.
And you know, speaking of the like tiny houses and the homes and stuff, do you have certain, I don't know, rules or guidelines in terms of what someone can build on the lot, what they can't, you know, what are you looking to like what's the overall feeling of the community?
Well, as a conscious community, we decided we're not going to be draconian in terms of saying, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do that. Instead, we ask people to make a commitment to living as consciously and as sustainably as they can. Mm-hmm. And so, because there's a lot of arguments about what's sustainable in building practices, right? Some people don't consider concrete sustainable. Others say concrete lasts forever. That's the most sustainable building product you can use, right?
Right.
And who am I to play God and say, well, I know what's correct and what's not correct. But what I do know is as a community, we're trying to figure out things together. You know, it already has a sustainable electrical grid. The entire grid here is zero emissions, which is pretty exciting.
Oh, wonderful.
But, you know, we also as a community have looked at how do we bring in technologies or new practices or new ideas together? Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And because that makes it a lot easier. It's a lot cheaper to buy solar panels if you're doing a bulk order than if one individual is out trying to buy solar panels. It's a lot easier to put in better water infiltration systems or as a community, we got together to build the community pool. We actually put a fresh water filter on it. So we didn't have to use any chemicals in the pool.
Oh, wonderful.
And the whole community contributed to our ability to build a pool that's at a higher standard. So we now have an ozonated and ionized pool. It takes no chemicals. Well, it takes a tiny bit of chlorine, about the same as drinking water. But we save hundreds of dollars every month in not having to buy chlorine or saline for the pool.
Right.
So in the long run, it'll actually pay for itself. And we all get this health benefit of swimming in an ozonated pool, which is actually really, really good for you. So it's kind of fun exploring different ideas like that, you know, one at a time as a community.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the standards we have as a community are more around our own behavior and who we're being in the world. You know, when we talk about consciousness, like there's two sides to consciousness, right? There's the, are you aware of your own thoughts and aware of your own emotions? I loved your blog post you read at the beginning of the show that way, right? Because you're not aware of your own wounds and your own emotions and your own thoughts, then it's very likely if you're not helping yourself to process these things, you're probably harming others with your thought patterns and your emotions, and you're not even aware of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the other side of consciousness is who are you being in the world? Like, what are you making your life stand for? You know, are you up to something that contributes to your family, to your community, to the world as a whole? And we decided that if we create consciousness as the first and foremost goal, then environmental sustainability automatically flows from that. You know, because if we really think about how do we impact others and how do we live together as a community, how do we help each other and who are we being in the world as a whole, then, of course, we're going to be making better decisions and doing it in a funner way.
Yeah. So how do you handle things like disagreements between residents or you know, if there's some problem, like how do you work that out? Because when you're living in an intentional community, you're pretty close with your neighbors and it's a pretty intimate relationship, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, we each have our own properties, but we hang out a lot. And I think first and foremost, we're a gossip-free zone. So if you're talking to someone else about a problem you have with another person, the only circumstance under which that's okay is your situation with them directly, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're asking for advice on help on how you go, but if you're just complaining about your neighbor, that behavior is not considered acceptable here.
Okay.
So we really focus on having people understand that, you know, manipulation, drama, you know, all those behaviors we might think of as codependent or, you know, last generation, some people would say.
Yeah.
But we're making a concerted effort to leave those behind and operate as a group that's really committed to each other's emotional vibration. You know, like let's build each other up, not tear each other down.
And have you seen in the community when there have been problems that people have been able and willing to work through them and like bring that kind of energy to it?
Interestingly, when you've got a lot of people that are really committed to doing their own work, a lot of them are also really awesome coaches. You even have a few people that are like trauma release therapists and things like that here. So yeah, it has been really good. And in fact, you know, the interesting thing is the people who aren't committed to doing their own work, who get a little manipulative or bring drama to the situation, they usually leave again pretty quickly because they don't like people calling them on their behavior. So, you know, they have one of two choices. They've either got to change or move on. And we have seen a few people move on, and I'm okay with that.
Okay. I was going to ask you, has anyone actually left because of that? Yeah. So they have. Yeah.
We have had a few people leave, and I'm happy about it.
Yeah.
I'd rather have people commit to really doing the work and really committing to be a good neighbor and being a good community member than someone who tries to manipulate with passive aggressive behavior and bring drama to the situation. Right. I don't really want those people around. So
right. Yeah. And do you have any, I don't know, community practices, or is it all just very spur of the moment? Like, do you do a community meal once a week, or do you do like a community meeting once a week?
No, they're not always on the same night, but we do a lot of potluck dinners. Yeah. Okay. We love to gather and eat together. Interestingly, sometimes we just randomly realize that we're all needing a break at the same time. We all go for a walk together. A lot of us walk early in the morning together too. Walking here in the mountains of Costa Rica, we're near the town of Berlin de San Ramon, and almost everywhere here the views are stunningly spectacular. We are actually on a named section of road, one of the few named highways in Costa Rica. It's El Camino del Cielo y Colibri, which means the Trail of Heaven and Hummingbirds. And so we walk along there and walk along the upper roads and just let the views inspire us. It's a pretty nice way to start your morning.
Beautiful, beautiful. Sounds like a great place to go to write your book.
Absolutely. Yeah. I do write your book in 2-week workshops. So that's one of the retreats we hold here, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful. So where you're at today, like, what are your current challenges? What's kind of some things you're having to work through today that are, you know, being a challenge for you?
Oh, well, for me personally, you know, the challenge is always doing my own inner work, right? Mm-hmm. I always have this beautiful vision of where I think things are going, and the universe has always got another plan.
Yeah.
You know? Our biggest tragedy right now is that one of my best friends who I started this community with got very, very sick and had to go back to Canada. I actually bought her out on the business so she could go back and be with family and friends. And it was interesting that your blog post at the beginning was about loneliness, because I have moments where I'm like, oh, I missed my friend, you know?
Yeah.
And yet it's pretty awesome to have all these other wonderful people around who get it.
Yeah.
And it's okay to be real and be human around them. Even though we're committed to doing our own emotional work, we have no expectation that everybody's happy go lucky all the time. Yeah. You know, like sometimes you're just having a bad day and you need to be able to feel
right.
Or sometimes you just really, really miss your business partner who you love dearly, and you know, and it's okay. It's okay to be a human here. You know,
right.
We want people to be humans unashamedly. In fact, I think one of the worst things we can do is try and hide or deny our negative emotions, because then they start leaking out and impacting people in all kinds of ways. Right. I think acknowledging your trauma and acknowledging your grief, you know, is sometimes one of the best things you can do.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's sort of, you know, once you're committed to doing your own work, then everything else kind of, I don't want to say gets easier, but it kind of flows in a very different way. That's not as, there's not as much friction, I guess, because you're being present and you're being open to what's presenting itself in the moment.
Yeah. And being vulnerable about, like I screw up as much as the next person, you know.
Yeah.
I'm as human as they come, you know. Mm. But I think people find it refreshing when you could acknowledge your own mistakes and just correct them rather than having a lot of drama or trying to blame other people or make something someone else's fault. You know, I think when you live in a community that's supportive and conscious in their belief system, then people can own their mistakes quickly and fix them, as opposed to having some kind of expectation that we're all perfect.
Yeah. Well, what's been your biggest surprise with this whole process and the community and moving down there?
Bar none, COVID.
Yes. Okay.
I was like, wow, we really weren't expecting that. You know, we had all these plans, and of course our initial model was all based on having events and bringing people down to events and they could experience the community and experience the retreat center. And that really threw us for a loop. I got to say that put us under a lot of challenge, but it also helped us really discover who we are and who we can be in the world and helped us really get to what's really important in life, you know.
Yeah,
I'd change any of it, not for all the gold in China, as
all the tea in China, yes,
or all the tea in China. I got the wrong expression.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, because I did learn a lot about myself, and I did have a lot of growth going through that.
Wonderful. Okay, we're going to take our last break of the show. When we come back, let's talk about some practical stuff. Like, if someone's interested, like, what's it going to cost them? You know, how much does it cost to build a home down in Costa Rica? What are the challenges around it? So let's get a little practical when we come back, okay? Wonderful. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. Our guest this hour has been Teresa Degrobaugh, and we'll be right back in just a moment to finish it all up and to let you know how to get in touch with her. So everyone, stay tuned.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Ready to serve up success with a splash? Hi, I'm Bruce Kramer, a.k.a. the Corporate Cockroach.
I'm the Renaissance Woman, Angie Snowball.
And I'm your strategy doctor, Dr. Navtej Dasanjh, inviting you to serving up success with a splash.
Join us as we shake things up with real talk and real strategies centered around awareness, action, and accountability.
And yes, there really is a cocktail involved. Please join us and sip your way to success.
Serving up success with a splash, where wisdom meets happy hours. Cheers!
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
So, Teresa, let's just say someone's listening to the show and they're hearing all these wonderful things about Costa Rica, and they decide to come down and check it out, and they fall in love with the place. Like, what are the practical things they need to keep in mind? Like, how much does it cost to buy a lot, or roughly give me a range? And like, how much would it cost to build a home, right? Because these are all like just raw land. There's no homes pre-built on them, right?
Well, all our lots are serviced, so you don't have to worry about bringing electric or water.
Okay.
But the lots range from about 50,000 to around 140,000 each. So the 50,000 lots are more like a city or double a city size, a typical city size lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the more expensive lots are like an acre and a quarter, you know, 5,000 square meter lots. So they're quite big.
Mm.
on the average lot, there's room to build more than one house if you want. So you can either build one really big house or multiple smaller houses, all of which is very acceptable in Costa Rica. So we do have a few situations where friends are sharing a lot, I love that idea because it's even more living in community. You know, if your friends in the house next door and you're sharing a lot together, that's awesome. Yeah. Building here, it really depends on what standard of building you want. I think you can build something pretty nice. Like what we build, the retreat center still has marble countertops and beautiful Europa windows, you know, the windows that completely open out. Mm-hmm. And we spent about $100 a square foot to build the retreat center.
Okay.
I think the aircrete domes that we're looking at bringing in, those are ridiculously affordable, especially if you've got a group of friends that want to help build together. We're thinking we might actually create a little aircrete committee here and help each other build houses. Those I think you could probably build for $50 a square foot. Yeah, pretty amazing. But you know, if you want Italian marble and
if you want the fancy stuff,
pictures and things like that, then it's easy to have your costs run up very, very quickly. It really depends on the finishes that you want in your home. Some things are ridiculously cheap here and others are quite a bit more expensive than you're used to.
Right. What kind of categories of things are more expensive and what categories of things are cheaper?
Expect food, if you eat like a local, to be a half to a third of what you'd spend in North America.
Wow.
If you're committed to your North American brand names and you want imported cereal and, you know, imported olive oil and things like that, then that'll be double what you normally spend in North America. So the way I live, I tend to do my groceries at the farmers markets most week, but I go to a big box grocery store once a month just to buy like the truffle oil I miss or fancy olive oil or things like that I couldn't get at the farmers market, you know?
Yeah.
Driving a car here is a lot more expensive than you'd expect in Canada, the United States. And that's because there's an import tax. There's import taxes on most things. So if it's imported in, it's probably going to be double or triple you'd expect to spend in the States or Canada. If it's not imported, it's probably a quarter of the price or to half the price, right? So in general, I find my cost of living is a lot lower here. I'm probably, a lot of people here live really, really well for under $2,000 a month, but there are certain things where you just be like, whoa, I wasn't expecting how much that costs. Trying to buy a car here is one of those. You'll have a bit of a sticker shock if you do that. That said, you often see groups of friends just sharing a vehicle, or it's very inexpensive to hire a driver here and go somewhere for a day. A lot of
people, I was going to ask, do you actually need a car to get around, or can you get around?
As long as you're flexible enough to either catch a lift with a friend when you want to go into town or hire a driver, it's about $25 to hire a driver to town and back. So it's really not that much relative. Like even in North America, that would be cheaper than owning your own vehicle. So
What advice would you give someone who's considering moving down there to make that transition easier? Like, what have you learned from your own experience that you think would help somebody considering this?
Yeah, I would say just do it, first of all. I don't regret it for a minute. And I think I wish I hadn't kept my feet in two camps for as long as I did. Like trying to maintain a house in Canada and a place here. Added stress and complication to the whole thing that I think, in hindsight, I remember I put a bunch of stuff in storage in Canada and I paid for a storage unit for like 3 years until I finally emptied it out and sold it all. But I think, for sure, try and land in a community of like-minded peers, There's moving to Costa Rica, and then there's moving where you'll have a group of friends in Costa Rica.
Right. And
when you've got a group of people around you that already know how to get a bank account, already know about how to apply for residency, if you want to apply for residency, you don't have to. You can still come here without applying for residency. But when you're around a group of people that have already been through the ropes, it just makes it a lot easier. It's a lot more fun when you've got friends around too, like showing you what are the strange fruits they're selling in the farmer's market? And how do you cook those anyway? You know?
Yeah.
It's just neat being with a group that helps show you the ropes.
Yeah. So if people want to learn more about Vista Mundo, if they want to get in touch with you, how would they find you? How would they get in touch with you?
You can just come to our website, vistamundo.info. And that's just literally translated view of the world, because we are a community with a worldview. And there's actually a free course on the homepage of our website about moving to Costa Rica that our community put together. We sat down and brainstormed out what are all the questions people probably have about setting up a bank account, about buying a car, about where to buy, etc. And we put together a little short course for people that's absolutely free. So feel free to do that course if you've got questions about moving here.
Wonderful, wonderful. And Vista Mundo is spelled VistaMundo.info. Teresa, what's your vision for the future? How do you see things in the next 5, 10, 15 years?
Well, we're going to just get bigger and better all the time. You know, we're in the very early stages of wanting to have a food forest around all the houses. And I think once that takes hold, you know, we're hoping to put in vertical gardens in all the homes.
Nice.
You know, where you have the upright hydroponic gardens that you can plant little solar panels. They're actually very easy to set up. So I'm, you know, we're thinking as a group of friends, we'll just all get together and build them together.
And, wonderful.
You know, I think we'll see even more community events here and more holistic workshops and holistic trainings. I'm really excited about seeing people not only come down here and thrive in how they live, but thrive in their businesses and really gain the benefit of being in a community where most of the members of this community are, in fact, entrepreneurs. So if you are an entrepreneur, you'll be around other digital nomads and entrepreneurs.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Well, Teresa, unfortunately, we have to leave it there. Thank you so, so much for taking your little time out of your time in paradise and coming on my show today. It's always a pleasure to reconnect and see how you're doing. I wish you all the success in the world. And I look forward to coming down there for a visit when it gets cold up here.
It was a joy, Sam. Thank you.
Thank you. And of course, thank you, my loyal listeners, for tuning in each week. Without you, there is no show. I so appreciate all of you. Let me know what you think of the show. I hope you enjoyed the topic. And please get in touch with Teresa if you have any interest at all in the potential of joining an intentional community in Costa Rica. Again, the website is vistamundo.info, I-N-F-O. And of course, later today, we have our shows, Frank About Health, starting at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, followed by Serving Up Success with a Splash, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And yes, we have more new shows starting in a couple of weeks. In the first week of August, we have Siobhan Lurice starting her new show, The Expansion Room, on Wednesdays at 5 p.m. And Art Fromm and his show, Making Seamless Sales, at 7 p.m. on Thursday. So we got a whole slate of shows coming up. So everyone, take care. Thank you all for tuning in. We will talk to you all next week.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A-Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.